The federal government is all in when it comes to solar and other renewable forms of energy. Four agencies have banded together for a novel procurement to aggregate requirements for solar power. Joining me to explain how it all works is Timothy Unruh, the director of the Federal Energy Management Program at the Energy Department, and Gerald Robinson is head of sustainable federal operations at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Timothy, we'll start with you. Great to have you on, first of all.
Good to be here, Tom.
Tell us about FEMP, but more importantly about this special procurement that has been put together to buy solar energy.
Well, FEMP is the Federal Energy Management Program, and the Federal Energy Management Program is tasked with working with all of the federal agencies across the government to help them create a lower cost, less energy using, lower greenhouse gas emitting government. As the largest energy user in the country, the federal government, we think, has a responsibility to make itself as efficient as possible, but also to provide leadership to the nation to provide best examples of how it can be done. So we believe this federal solar procurement that has recently happened with GSA procuring the power for 9 locations in the western part of the United States is a great example of how we can move forward with making our facilities more efficient, use the renewable resources we have in our country, as well as save the taxpayer money.
Now, the company involved here is called Solar City Corporation of San Mateo. Is that a utility? What do they do? How does that company operate? Gerald?
Solar City is a company many of your listeners are going to be familiar with from solar on their homes. So this system that went on these federal sites is very similar to what would go on a home, but larger. And Solar City provides engineering, finance, and construction, and then life of contract operations of these systems for federal agencies, which are essentially buying the power produced.
Now, are the systems located on the roofs of the buildings using it, or are they elsewhere, and there's a distribution type of grid to get it to where the customers are?
Yeah, good question. So in this case, we sited solar on roofs, on parking lots, what we call solar shaded carports, and also on the ground. And all of the systems connect to the site distribution grid in order to offset site electrical use. So these systems directly offset electricity that would normally come from the franchise or serving utility.
So there's two wires essentially going into the building, and what you hope is the sun shines enough that you can use the wire from the San Mateo Corporation, the Solar City Corporation generating.
That's correct, and you would use that electricity over that supplied by the franchise utility because it's lower in cost.
And tell us a little bit more about the contracting setup, because I guess the government is not making the investment, but you're simply buying the power, and someone else, this corporation, is making the capital investment?
That is correct. So in this case, the system is third-party owned, and the advantages for the federal government in that case is that the third-party owner enjoys the federal tax credits and tax deductions which are available to it, and thereby can offer the federal agency a reduced electricity cost than it would normally see. So that's the basic setup of this arrangement.
And give us an idea of where the location, where the buildings are that are going to be utilizing, which federal offices will be using this. I presume it's like maybe not in Buffalo, New York, for example.
Well, so the sites in this project are all in Northern California and Northern Nevada. And you're right, there's good solar resources in that region of the country. But don't forget, we have in this country fairly good solar resources in all states. Relative to, say, Germany. So we're actually pretty blessed in this country with good solar resources.
Now, if an agency or a building operator wants to do this, besides the panels that are so visible, in fact, you see them on homes more and more locally, panels on the roof, what else do you need to turn that into AC so that you can plug your pencil sharpener into it?
Yeah, well, that's another very good question. So the solar panels produce power, which is not compatible directly, and it goes through an appliance, which we call an inverter. And that inverter is its role is to take that power from the solar system and coordinate it so that it is fed right into the distribution system and can be used right on the spot.
And is this a fixed price contract for the term, for the duration, that is to say the kilowatt hours, however many cents it is per kilowatt hour, will that be constant over the life of this deal?
That's correct. That would be a fair term to use in this case.
All right. And I also wondered the different respective roles here. I see, you know, Gerald, you're head of sustainable federal operations at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Do you have some technical contribution to this, or is the lab just another user of the deal?
Well, I work in support of this program that Tim Unruh has put in place at the Federal Energy Management Program, and it's our third-party on-site solar, or renewables, I should say, because we do other things than solar, program, where we go and give technical assistance to federal agencies that are interested in siting renewables on their properties.
And Tim, let me ask you this, as head of the FEMP program, the Federal Energy Management Program, the military has been embarking on ways to make bases self-reliant with the power they generate. Is there any crossover between the lessons learned on the civilian side and the military side?
Well, one of the challenges we run into on the civilian side versus the military side is they have different abilities to do contracts for this type of power. Department of Defense maintains the ability to contract for longer periods of time than does the civilian agencies. And so what this federal procurement that happened out in Northern California and Nevada does is creates an innovative approach to provide a longer-term type of agreement using a GSA ability to do a 10-year base contract and a 10-year option to provide a cost-effective system that can supply these facilities. One of the challenges with solar power is that 10-year term contract, because the asset will last for a long time, often is not long enough to fully capture all the benefits of the capital cost of the initial upfront installation. So GSA then is doing a 10-year plus a 10-year option to enable all the capital assets value to be captured by the federal entity that's using this power.
Because this whole acquisition program, you're calling it a pilot, so it sounds like that you're trying to gather learnings from both the technical side of it, can this work electrically, and also the contracting possibilities. I guess there's some lessons to be learned there too.
Yes, actually, the contracting possibilities are some of the biggest lessons we're learning on this that we do hope we can extend to other federal facilities through what we've learned on this pilot.
And so are you hoping this will become, say, a model of procurement that other agencies could just take off the shelf and apply to themselves or groups of agencies in a given area? Because it sounds like there is some geographical concentration that makes sense to have these kinds of deals.
Well, I think hope is a great word to use at this time of year, and we do hope that this would become something that other agencies can use and it can become a model. But right now with the pilot, we just don't know all the possibilities that it has. We think it may have some grand possibilities, but until we get further understanding of what all the agency requirements are as we move forward, we're still in that hope stage.
And what is the timeline? What happens in the next few months and before this is up and you can plug in to that new grid?
So the first thing that has to happen before this thing actually goes live is there'll be a final design that has to be done. All the engineering aspects have to be taken care of. And then the final contracting will allow the construction to occur. And this is supposed to be all constructed and ready to operate before the end of 2016. During this 2016 timeframe, what we'll be looking at is what are the possibilities we can start a secondary program at another agency to try out another agency's policies to see how this will work there.
Gerald Robinson is head of sustainable federal operations at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Timothy Unruh is director of the Federal Energy Management Program at the Energy Department. After this break, we'll continue with the interview. Robinson and Unruh discuss the special provisions that might be needed in multi-agency solar power contracts. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We've been talking about four agencies that have banded together for novel procurement approaches to aggregate requirements for solar power. Timothy Unruh is director of the Federal Energy Management Program at the Energy Department, and Gerald Robinson is head of sustainable federal operations at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. In part two of my interview, I asked, what are some of the special, if there are any special service level agreements or other types of clauses that you need for these renewable sources versus buying from a traditional utility? Gerald?
When you when you put private property on a federal site, you have to have an agreement that allows that equipment to be operated and maintained on the federal site. So that's one of the important issues. And then we also have what we call an interconnection agreement, which occurs between the serving utility in the region and the federal agency and the power producer, in this case, SolarCity. So those are some of the special agreements that are put in place.
So when this is all up and running, there will be an infrastructure of panels and inverters and wiring and so forth. So do you feel that if something, say, SolarCity disappeared, I mean, companies come and go in all fields, would this still be able to operate, say, if someone else took over their facilities?
Yes, it would. We have special contract provisions for that. And that's what we call novating. So sometimes systems change ownership. So if SolarCity were to disappear because the system has value, it would be sold to another entity, which would then continue to operate under the existing contract terms and conditions.
And you're predicting that the government will save $5 million over the life of this contract. Do you have algorithms and maybe formula that other agencies could use, say they're in a less sunny area, but could they still get savings? Is it possible to translate those calculations to other areas for agencies that may want to join in with a program of their own?
Well, that's another good question, and that's one of the things that we do for agencies is that we examine the unique conditions of their site. We do extensive utility rate analysis, and then we can project through modeling tools that DOE has developed, and many of those tools are at the National Renewable Energy Lab, and we can give a very good picture to the agencies of what they can expect to see in savings and power production. So we have some excellent tools. And these tools are also used by industry. So they're widely recognized and incredible tools.
And in your experience, could a place, we kind of kidded earlier about Buffalo, New York, which has a lot of bad weather, or Seattle, some of the cloudy places, in your experience, can those types of climates also save money, maybe not as dramatically, but can they also save money with solar sources?
They absolutely can, and it really depends on what the current rate structure is from the franchise utilities in those areas, as well as what kind of system you're going to install. So the rooftop systems and ground systems are often the lower cost systems to install, and they're easier. And so if you have those types of opportunities, you can often see savings.
Timothy Unruh is the director of the Federal Energy Management Program at the Energy Department, and Gerald Robinson is head of sustainable federal operations at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Thank you all so much for joining me.